say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Hey, good morning, mi amigos. It is a delightful sunny 75 sunny degrees here in Kingman, Arizona. Doing this a little bit different. We're coming to you from the road today. I'm here at Calico's restaurant. But got a few great things for you this morning. Looks like the folks in Tucumcari got a tad bit of rain over the night. Boy, those folks have been sure taking a pounding from storms this year, that's for sure. A lot of interesting things happened there. I understand the Odin Theater, been open since about 1936, is going up for sale, and so is the Motel Safari. So if you're looking for a business opportunity on Route 66 or in a Route 66 community, well, there's two great ones for you. Route 66 runs, of course, Tucumcari is a great Route 66 destination, but there's so much more to Tucumcari than just Route 66. One of them is the Mesa Lance Community College Dinosaur Museum. Great little stop for the family there. Find out more at visittucumcarienm.com. Hey, this morning we're going to talk to Annie Mouse. Ann, how are you doing this morning? How's things in Pennsylvania?
Okay. It's a little cloudy, and we've had some really volatile weather. It's who knows what we're going to get from moment to moment.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one thing we can count on. Weather and politics always changing.
Exactly. Exactly. And always contentious, it seems.
You know, I was going to leave that part out, but yeah, that's a way to look at it. Exactly. How did you get involved? I always ask folks, how did you get involved with this Route 66 phenomenon?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I knew absolutely nothing about 66, but in 2005, my younger son got married and moved to Arizona. And his wife had family there, and she really wanted to reconnect with them, and she hadn't seen them in a long time. So she felt that there were some job opportunities there for them. And I do not like to fly, but I really wanted to visit my son in his new home. So I thought, I'll take a road trip, you know, from Pennsylvania to southern Arizona as soon as the semester was out in 2006, so that I could visit them in their new home. And I, in the back of my mind, I said, well, this is probably going to cure my fear of flying. Probably after doing this road trip, I'll say, yeah, you know, flying is probably a good option. But what happened was I fell in love with Route 66 along the way. I had said, you know, I had no real agenda. I've always, you know, despised driving interstate and always liked doing the back roads. So I thought that, you know, I'm just going to see what I can discover along the way and take my good old time getting there. And when I started seeing signs for various Route 66 attractions along the way, I would just, zip off the interstate and visit them. And the first thing that really hooked me, though, was in Clinton, Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Route 66 Museum I stopped at, and that was, I need to see more. I need to find, you know, every attraction I could possibly find. And that was the start of it in 2006. So every year after that, I would, plan the road trip, and I would mark out, you know, different things that I would want to make sure that I hit along 66. So that was the start of it all.
You know, it's fascinating because Route 66 is, well, it's a highway. You know, I mean, that's cut and dried. It's a highway, for God's sakes. And technically and officially, of course, Route 66 doesn't even exist anymore. But yet, it's for lack of a better term, there's an infectious magic about the road, and it's largely because of the people that you meet along the way. And it's really tough to find words to describe what Route 66 is today.
Exactly. And on that first trip, you're going to love this story. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you before, but when I got into Texas, I stopped at the Welcome Center and I asked, you know, that's what in Amarillo, 100 miles into Texas. And I asked the woman there, you know, what is here in Amarillo on, you know, Route 66 for me to see? And she asked me where my destination was. And I said, well, I'm headed to Arizona. And I was just shocked when she said, there's nothing for you to see here. Just move along. And I said, well, you know, I've become fascinated with Route 66 and I'd like to explore it. And she says, nobody cares about that old road. There's nothing there. And I was just horrified by that. I'm thinking, you're the Welcome Center. You're supposed to be directing people. And I said, well, you know, I am a somebody and I am interested in it. So, you know, do you have any pamphlets at least that you can give me? And I was just so shocked at her attitude that I think that I wrote a letter to the Chamber of Commerce about your Welcome Center needs an attitude adjustment and needs to be directing people to Route 66 because people are interested in it. And your Welcome Center should be, you know, guiding people to explore what you have, especially right there in Amarillo.
Well, I had a situation, I'll refrain from naming the community, but a few years ago as I was with a group and I went to their visitor center, which was located on Route 66 and which advertised being on Route 66. And it was a Sunday afternoon and the lady behind the information desk, people were asking, this seems like a charming little town. What is there to do? And she said, there's not much to do on Sunday, but there's some casinos just 30 miles west of here in Nevada. You got to enjoy that. You know, I know that your primary profession is as an educator. Yes. Do you find that as a, how do we get young people interested in Route 66?
Well, and of course, that was my focus. And you're aware, I had a series of books. It's my Guardian Angel series that I had. And I had on the side of my vehicle just, you know, Annie Mouse with the logo. And as I started to more and more, you know, drive the route and meet people like Gary Turner and Laurel Kane, both of those folks encouraged me to do an Annie Mouse adventure on 66. And they had both talked to me about the real need for encouraging families to start taking those road trips again with their kids because especially, you know, back in 2006, people were saying, you know, that's really not for kids. You know, why would you, you know, think that it is? And people would say, oh, do you drive a motorcycle? Do you ride a motorcycle? You know, that's kind of a motorcycle trip, isn't it? And the perception that seemed to be the perception that, you know, it was more of, you know, a biker kind of deal. And I started sharing with people about all the things that you could be teaching your children if you take a road trip. And of course, then the Cars movie came out, which definitely helped, you know, with people understanding that, hey, you know, maybe this can be a family road trip. So, you know, I started with the seed planted with all the photographs that I had taken from 2006 to 2010. That started me on doing my first photo journal, and I was incorporating it into my teaching. Now, I was teaching early childhood courses, preparing people to be teachers in early childhood, and telling my students how we need to incorporate social studies and American history and how, you know, this road really does incorporate all the things that we want children to know, because it seems like social studies has gotten out of education, out of elementary schools. And I was kind of horrified when my students were saying, well, what does Route 66 have to do with social studies? So I had a lot of work to do just with my students in helping them understand this is what we need to be teaching children. And that was my goal with that first photo journal, was to put something out there. I noticed there was really nothing out there for families, you know, to give their children while they were traveling the route. When that first book came out, and I think you and I met in Joplin in 2013.
I believe so, yes.
And when I had my little setup there, I had a few folks come running up to me and telling me they were grandparents and had purchased that book. And the one woman was so ecstatic. She said she had been trying to get her grandchildren to take the trip with her, and they wouldn't do it. So she had purchased the previous year my book and had taken it home to them as a souvenir. And they started saying, oh, wow, what's this blue whale? What's this? Wait, can you take us with you next year when you take your trip? And that to me was so exciting, because I said, well, you know, I am accomplishing what I set out to do, was to show that there is a lot on the route for children and families. And, you know, if it reached one woman, one woman's grandchildren, how many others might it have reached as well? So,
go ahead, Ann.
No, I said I probably got off track of what you were asking.
No. That really encapsulates some things. What I've tried to do for quite a few years, and I was even privileged to do this in Germany at some schools, I try when I make speaking engagements in communities, I reach out to schools and offer my services. A few schools have taken me up on this, and I learn as much from the kids, I think, as they learn from me. And as you know, most classes, the kids don't care what I'm talking about. They're just glad they're not in class.
Exactly.
But you got four or five kids. And I've been honing this a bit, and I'm really pleased. I was down in Chandler, Arizona. And one of the young men there, 12 years old, very fascinating young man, he got intrigued with this Route 66 stuff. And I'm really pleased to say that he created a Route 66 program for History Day and won the state championship, and he's going on to the Nationals.
Oh, how exciting. Wow.
But your Annie Mouse books, I got to tell you, you know, I was, of course, I've got a little bit of an ego thing on that. I was actually included in one of those. But those books are great. I like to see kids' faces light up as they're looking through these books.
Thank you. Yeah, you are included. I did try to include people because I really wanted to convey the message that it is the people along the route that you meet that really makes it so fascinating. And reading some of the Facebook boards where people say, well, how long will it take me to get from Chicago to LA? And I see people say 5 days, and I'm thinking, what? 5 days? What are you doing? Just driving straight through? You're missing the point. Don't even bother. You know.
When people ask me how long it takes to travel and see things on Route 66, I always tell them I really don't know. I've only been doing it since 1959, and
haven't seen it all yet.
Yes,
exactly. Well, that's just it. Like every year when I do the trip, I see things, you know, on the Facebook boards, and I'm like, wait a minute, I just got back from that trip and I didn't see that. How did I miss that? Oh, well, I took a different leg, you know, because there's so many different, you know, the 1926 route, the 1932 route, whatever. And, you know, like I said, I've been doing it since 2006, and I know that I haven't seen everything and explored everything yet. And every time when I come back, it's like, well, geez, now I have to make a list of what I have to hit next year and people I need to meet along the way. And, you know, it's constantly changing too. You know, one place closes and another place opens up and there are new people to meet and new experiences to have. And, you know, getting back to the educational thing, one of the social studies goals in education is time continuity and change. And it's like Route 66 is the epitome of that. You know, the continuity of the route, but the change, it's always there. Every year, it's a different experience for me.
How many books do you have now in the Annie Mouse series?
I have seven books. Four of them are the Guardian Angel series and three are the Route 66. And then I have the coloring book. And my goal with the coloring book, it's just a really slim volume, but it's called, you know, Annie Mouse's Adventures, the coloring book. And the whole point of that was to introduce the people who are largely my Guardian Angel readers, introduce them to Route 66. So it just starts out, you know, telling a little story. It's not just, you know, coloring pages, but it tells a little story, introducing the reader to Annie Mouse and her family and her life on the farm. And then introducing them to, you know, they take a road trip and they discover Route 66. And there's just a little introductory page for each state. And that's all it was meant to do, was to say, people who have children who aren't familiar with Route 66 will have a little introduction and think, hey, maybe I should learn a little bit about this. So it is, you know, just a little snippet to kind of, you know, get people curious. So that was the point of the coloring book. And the family vacation book is the chapter book. So that's for children who are readers. And the first photo journal takes the people through Illinois to California, and the second volume takes you from LA to Chicago. And I was reading a couple weeks ago on a board, one of the, you know, I think it was the Historic Route 66 Facebook group, where somebody said they always start the trip in California because they live out west. And it's disappointing to them that all of the books, they have to read them backwards. And, you know, there are books like my Journey East book that does start in California for those readers. So I think I probably haven't done a good enough job of marketing that and making people aware of it. But I know mine is not the only one that does that. I know David Wickline has a volume two of his book that starts in California as well.
One of the things I really like about the Annie Mouse series, I've been worried for years that kids aren't exposed to books anymore. People don't read. And if you combine Annie Mouse with a road trip, even if it's a short one, I mm-hmm. think that's a great way to encourage kids to read.
Exactly.
Get them interested in reading. I would like, you and I have talked about this a lot, but I would like, I've seen such a hunger in the schools and with students. I would really like to develop a curriculum for schools on Route 66, because you can incorporate sociology, geology, history, math, all of it can be rolled into it.
Exactly.
Well, I have a thought that just popped into my head. I've had people approach me about organizing a Route 66 tour, if you will, just a loose ride-along tour, you know, with me as kind of the guide. You know what would be kind of fun is to put together a summer road trip for families.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be a fun excursion?
Oh, definitely.
So, Anne, what do you have coming next for your Annie Mouse series, may I ask?
Well, I was kind of joking about an Annie Mouse's Wild Weather adventure on Route 66, because I thought, you know, it would be educational as far as introducing, you know, children to the various weather patterns across the country. But this past trip that I had in May was insane weather-wise. Which kind of made me think about doing something like that and how much fun that could be, you know.
There would be a secondary reason for a book like that is to alleviate children's concerns about severe weather. Mm-hmm. And the third would be to get kids interested, not only just road trips, but interested in weather, meteorology.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I'm always so fascinated. You know, I retired from the university a few years ago, and in retirement, which, you know, really hasn't happened, I signed up to substitute teach at my local school district. And I knew that there was a need for substitutes. I didn't realize that I would probably be working like every day of the school year because there's such a need for substitutes. But I'm just fascinated to see the number of young children who really are interested in weather. You know, the kids will come into the library looking for books specifically about, you know, the weather, and they are fascinated by it.
You just touched on something that just another thought that came to mind. It's obviously very challenging as we age and generations change, dealing with kids, different generations. But, you know, for senior citizens that have some sort of professional backgrounds, things of that nature, picking up a few dollars, contributing to the society, maybe becoming a substitute teacher is an option.
Right. And a lot of people, you know, don't realize you don't need to have a teaching degree to substitute teach. They just require you to have, you know, well, I don't know what state to state the requirements are, but here you have to have a degree in something. Mm-hmm. And then they send you to, I guess, a day-long or a two-day-long course to get a temporary teaching certificate for the purposes of subbing. But it really is very, very rewarding, you know, to do that. And, of course, my roots were in teaching in K-12 environment to begin with. And as a reading specialist and early childhood specialist, reading, of course, has always been my passion. So I know from a little kid, I was, you know, taking notebooks and sketching out, you know, what I was going to write because I was going to be an author. And, you know, in higher ed, I, you know, published in professional journals. But part of me was like, I'm just preaching to the choir in what I'm writing in the professional journals. I'm not really reaching the children population.
Where can do you have a website for your Annie Mouse?
Yes, it's anniemousebooks.com.
And well, can't get much easier than that.
Exactly. Yes. And anybody who does order from my website, I do autograph the books for them as well from that site.
I will publish the program today, I will include a link for your website, and we'll get that. Of course, we have an embedded player on our jimhinckleysamerica.com, our website. We have an embedded player with archived programs. And then all these programs are archived on Spotify and major podcast platforms. And I want to, you know, I really want to thank you for doing this morning. And but I really want to thank you for your dedication to education and to finding ways to reach these kids in a fun way and encouraging people to get out and discover things.
Exactly. I'm always disconcerted when I do see people say, oh, you know, make sure that you have a lot of videos in your car when you take the kids on the trip. And I'm like, no, I'm like screaming at the computer screen when I'm reading those. It's like, no, put that stuff away. The kids are turning into I call them techno zombies.
Yes.
Talk to them when you're in the car. Point things out. I know even with my own grandchildren now that they've gotten, you know, these technology things. I don't even know what the heck they're called anymore. But, you know, the little one she got for her birthday in March and she's 9. I think it's a switch is what she called it. And before she got this switch, she'd be in the back seat and I'd say, oh, look, Shelby, there's horses over there. Do you see those horses? I wonder what kind they are. And I'm talking to her. And now she's like, there's silence in the back seat. And I'm like,
one way to do that, for example, is make sure you drive the kids between Seligman and Kingman because there's no cell service.
Ah, perfect.
Yes.
Oh, they have downloaded things on the Switch, though. You know, I just have to pat them down and take them off of them before getting them.
You know, the sad thing is I hate to see those expensive gadgets accidentally fall out the window on the highway.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
really a shame. But, you know, it happens.
Yeah. Hey, did I ever tell you about in part of my Guardian Angels series, I have the Where the Rainbow Touches Ground book. Did I ever tell you the connection to?
No, you didn't.
I do want to share that story with you because it was really such a, you know, serendipitous meeting. But I told you I like to just do little side trips and explore something new. And on one of my early trips, I stopped at the George Washington Carver National Monument, and the greeter, just the elderly gentleman reminded me so much of my dad who had passed away the previous year that I was just fascinated by him, talking to him, and because he greeted me with a poem about George Washington Carver. And I said, wow, that's a really interesting poem. I've never heard it before. And he said, well, that's because I wrote it. And his name was Charlie Barker. So we ended up, I had stopped later in the day, and we ended up chatting for so long that I didn't actually see the museum at all because it was closing by the time we finished chatting. And he had given me his card, and I'd given him one of my bookmarks. And that come up around Thanksgiving time, I got a package in the mail. And he had sent me a whole collection of poems that he had written with a little note saying, what do you think about these poems? Do you think they're worthy of publication? So I encouraged him to, you know, even if he just compiled all of his poems that he had written and taken them to a copy center and given them to his children, you know, that they would have what he had written. And so he actually had done that. And then as a little thank you, he sent me this poem, Where the Rainbow Touches Ground. And he said, I would be so honored if you would do an Annie Mouse adventure on this, you know, poem, which my knee-jerk reaction was I was in the middle of doing the first photo journal. And I thought, well, I don't really have time for this. It's not on my agenda. I'm going off on a different, you know, tangent. But then I felt really, you know, driven to go ahead and do that, to both honor him. But the really coincidental thing about that was that I told you my dad had passed away the year before, and I was left with a box of his World War II photographs, which I was given the box at his funeral, and I did not want to open it. But I felt really drawn to open it after I got Charlie's letter in the mail. And here my dad's discharge papers, or not discharge papers, his basic training papers were in the box. And here he had done, he would not talk to me about his World War II anything. Nothing. He wouldn't give me any information. He didn't want to talk about it. But here he had done his basic training in Neosho, Missouri, which is where Charlie lived. So, exactly. And I'm telling you, even like the little shake of his hands was just like my dad's, and he had reminded me so much of my dad. So I thought, you know, this just seems to be a little sign that maybe I should do this book. So I kind of put the photo journal on hold because originally that was going to come out in 2010, but my rainbow book came out in 2010. And I have maintained a friendship with Charlie's daughter. And Charlie did pass away a couple of years ago, but she lives in Neosho. But when I was working on the book, I did stop off and one of my 66 trips, and I showed Charlie how I was developing the book and got his approval for it to see that he liked where I was going with it. And that's how that rainbow book came about.
And, you know, thank you for sharing that story. And well, thank you for joining us this morning. And I want to thank you for what you're doing in general with education, these books. And it's been a distinct pleasure since we've got to know you. We always look forward to your visits out this way. And I'd like to, you know, encourage people. The whole idea behind this program is sharing America's story, which you just did eloquently, and to encourage road trips, telling people where to go in general. And there's so many things, like I mentioned, Tucum Carry, you know, for a great family getaway if you're in that area. The Dinosaur Museum. And during the summer, they do paleontology digs can include in your trip. And of course, Cuba, Missouri. There's so many great things you can do there in Cuba. I don't know, but I don't know if the drive-in theater is still open. It was before COVID. It's always a great thing to do.
But it's so exciting to see how many drive-ins are reopening too, by the way.
Yes. And thank you so much for taking time from your Sunday to do this. And I hope everybody enjoyed this this morning. We've got quite a little crowd here. Yeah, I really, after you were here in May, I thought about this, and I thought, you know, people need to hear this story. They need to hear about these books for their children and their grandchildren. They need to be encouraged to get their kids out there on the road. And you know, like you said, meeting the people, talking to these people. I think that's an incredible thing, an opportunity for children. To do that. And that's from my childhood. You know, of course, childhood memories are the subject of countless comedies. Sitting in the back seat, trapped with your sisters, no air conditioning. But I also have great memories of the interesting places, the people we met on the road. Even the car breakdowns that we experienced have a smile-inducing memory or two associated with them.
I can imagine. You know, I came from a really huge family, and we really didn't have road trips. I think once when I was 8, a relative got married in Indiana, and we, you know, half of us piled up in one vehicle, and the rest of us had to go with another relative in another vehicle because we couldn't all fit in one car. And I think that's the only road trip I can remember is driving to Indiana for a wedding. But I always wanted to travel, and I was a voracious reader, and I'd read about places that I wanted to visit. And I always share with children, I knew that the way for me to be able to do that was to stay in school and get a good job so that I could have that opportunity to travel wherever I wanted to.
Yes. Folks, you know, thank you, guys, everybody who joined us this morning. We got some great stuff coming up. On the 23rd, we're going to talk to Sarah Peterson. I think you're going to really like her story. You're going to be inspired by Sarah. I've lost track of how many kids exactly she has. She's an accomplished artist. And she decided when her and her family moved to Kingman that she wanted to add some culture and opportunities here. So she opened an art gallery. She spearheaded a nonprofit to take over the abandoned theater that's being converted to a performing arts center. She moved a piano into her art gallery and started helping children have music lessons. Now she's opened a smoothie and soup bar downtown. So I think you're going to find her quite interesting. And on the 30th, we're going to be talking to Wade Bray. He's the gentleman that's been pretty instrumental in developing the AAA Route 66 Road Fest in Tulsa. And interestingly enough, with Wade, he has not, even though he grew up around Tulsa, knew of Route 66, he wasn't a big fan from what I understand. But this Road Fest and the turnout, the history that he's uncovered, it's ignited a very, very strong passion. And he's got some interesting plans for the Route 66 centennial. That'll be on the 30th. Hey, Ann, thank you so very much. And not sure what we're going to do next week, but I got some ideas. And well, we'll have some fun, as we always do on Sunday mornings. Right. So thank you. Thanks again, Ann.
And thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. It's I look forward to hearing more about your adventures.
All righty.
Take care, my friend.
You Bye-bye. Too. Bye.
Adios, amigos.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories in
the music from
unknown.
Joe and Woody and the boys of the road crew. A little bit of road trip inspiration for you this morning.
Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
And as we sign off this morning, I want to tell you we got a new ice cream parlor downtown Kingman, Scoops on 66. I have not tried it yet, but Tim and Lenore Webb, urban pioneers. They've opened this ice cream parlor in a long, empty, long closed 1930s cafe along Route 66. And we're going to be talking with them again soon. Take care, my friends, and I'll let you know about that ice cream. Adios, mi amigos.
Bye-bye.